I greet all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have just read the Pesach. Okay, before that, I must wish all of you a happy new year, happy Lunar New Year. Lunar means Chinese New Year, but I use the word Lunar, it means for everybody. Because everybody, this is Lunar Year based on the moon. So it's Lunar. If Chinese New Year is only for Chinese, no. Lunar New Year is for all, especially for the Chinese. It is for all. They have the usual Chinese New Year, the calendar year, and that is okay. And everybody seems to understand that, both Western and Eastern. But Lunar New Year is also for everybody. We're not calling Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year is for Chinese. And then the others. No, it's Lunar Year for all races. It's based on the moon at certain times of the year accordingly in this 16th of February. And then the moon is in its full bloom. And so it is Lunar New Year. Yes, hanging that way. And we have read already the Matthew chapter 13. And then the passage given to me is verses 13 to 17 also. Please turn to the Bible to this particular passage, 13 to 17. It's a very short passage, but it is so wonderful. It is, well, it tells here, it records for us the time when Jesus Christ went from Galilee. He was in Galilee. And Jesus Christ went to Jordan, the area Jordan, where John the Baptist was baptizing. And there were many people, in fact, if you read the passage very carefully, and also some passages in Luke, you'll find people from outside Jerusalem all came to there. Many of them came there and to be baptized by John the Baptist. And you find that Jesus Christ went there. Now, it was about AD 26. Now it's AD 2018. That time was 26, so almost about 2,000 years ago. And Jesus. At that time, Jesus and John was about 30 years old. And John was 6 months older than Jesus. In fact, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, was pregnant with him, she visited Elizabeth, the mother of John. And Elizabeth was her cousin. And when she visited her, and Mary was so delighted and said, "Why, so gracious for you, from the mother of my Lord." In other words, Elizabeth have some divine knowledge, came to know that the babe which Mary, her cousin, was having in her womb is her Lord. In other words, he knows that Jesus, the babe Jesus, was her Lord. Deity. And then when Mary went there, and as she said these things, the babe in her, 6 months already old, that's John leaped in her womb. In other words, he moved and she could feel it. And so even at that moment, how John also come to realize that the babe in Mary was not an ordinary human being, was not an ordinary being, although he is human, but he is the Son of God, the deity. Even at a small babe, he was that. And so, there was and that happened. And then they grew up together. Then we have no records that that John and Jesus, when they were teenagers, they have come together and play goalie, all that. No, we have no records of that. The next moment we know that Jesus Christ has grown up, at the age of 30, he began to start his ministry. And John, and then by the time we know that John was baptizing already in Jordan. So in between, we did not, there's no record of it. It's not that it did not happen. They, of course, they grew up normally. And Jesus Christ, we know that when he was 12 years old, his parents brought him to Jerusalem. And then later he was with assistant to his father. Joseph was a carpenter. So in other words, Lord Jesus Christ was a carpenter. But John, we do not know much until when we come to know John, we find that he lived very simply. His food was locusts and wild honey. And then he wears camel's hair. That means he wears very scantily, like a prophet at that time. And then he baptized. So God gave him a ministry. And you find out from the book of Isaiah that he was the prophet that came to the earth here to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he prepared the way. A voice in the wilderness, he said that. And he was at Jerusalem baptizing. And his baptism was for all those who want to confess their sins and repent. John's baptism was for all those who want to confess their sins and repent. So it's a baptism of repentance. So to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. Okay, to prepare his way. And so those who come to baptize by John here, they really have a change of heart to confess their sin, repent. And when Jesus Christ comes, they are all ready and to accept him. But John's was for those who are sinful, who realize their own sin, confess their sin and repent. And John will baptize them in the River Jordan. With that, we continue with this our passage and see what we can learn from this passage. Let's look at this text a little more careful. Now, first, here John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming to him in Jordan. It's not recorded here. It's recorded by Luke. Luke tells us that while John was baptizing, he looked afar, suddenly he saw Jesus Christ approaching him. And then he shouted straight away, with a loud voice, he said, "Behold," that means with all the people around, he "behold," that means he's asking, look. So when they turn around to look where the direction of his hand was pointing, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." So he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, fully man, but he also said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." In other words, he knew the deity of Christ. Not only that he saw a human being like every ordinary man, but he saw in Jesus the Lamb of God, his deity, the Son of God, who is coming to take away the sins of the world. So the Lord Jesus Christ approached him, and then Jesus said to him that he comes to be baptized. Then Jesus Christ said, "Baptize me." Then John said, "No, I cannot baptize you. In fact, you should baptize me," and not the reversed. And why did John say that? Because John already recognized his deity, that he's the Son of God, the Lamb of God, taketh away the sins of the world. And he himself, John himself, know that he himself is a sinner. Well, he baptized all these people. Yes, they want to confess their sins. So John is one of them also confessing their sins. So John said, no, I forbid. I won't baptize you. You must baptize me. And the Lord Jesus Christ, what was the Lord Jesus Christ's answer? And the Lord Jesus Christ answered and said, no. Suffer it to be so. In other words, Jesus Christ says, suffer it to be so. Suffer it to be so. Now, we must finish it. Suffer to be so now. Now, it's very important, the word now. But suffer it to be so means what? When John said, no, I should be baptized with you. And then Jesus Christ said, no, baptize me. And suffer it to be so. Allow it, permit it. Never mind. Allow it to be so. That means you carry on and baptize me. And Jesus Christ said, now. Now, the word now to me is quite significant. Now, what do you mean by now? Now, first of all, again, all right, now, it means that moment when the Lord Jesus Christ went to him for his baptism. And the word now, Jesus was submitting actually to the will of God. It was the will of God, God the Father, who sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And he must be baptized by John the Baptist for the confession of sins and repentance. That's why when John said, you should baptize me, not I baptize you, knowing that I have no sins. And John's baptism was for those who want to confess their sin. Jesus Christ has no sin to confess, no sin to repent. And Jesus Christ said also, suffer it to be so. Never mind, allow it. Allow it. Now. So now is significant. Now is that time when the Lord Jesus Christ went to him for baptism. Up to when? Now is, that means only now, temporary. Eh? Now, when? What is the duration of that time? Now, the duration of that time, of the word now, is from the time when Jesus Christ went there to be baptized until the time when he was on the cross. And the last word that he said, what was it? It is what? Finished. Complete. That means the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ was from the time when John baptized him up to the time of the cross when he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. He gave us his life. And that's why when the centurions came, went to break the legs of the two malefactors or two thieves, and you know, so that they will die, because the Pharisees themselves said, tomorrow is the Sabbath day, and we cannot work on that day, so to expedite their death. But when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he already passed away. So no bone is broken. He already passed away. So the duration of the word now, Christ say, is from the time when Jesus Christ went to. But Jesus Christ has no sin, right? And just what John said, that I should be baptized by you. So why did Jesus Christ want himself to be baptized? Because he identified himself with man. He was the sin bearer. On that day, he took the sins. He wanted to bear the sins of the world. As John himself said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Yes, he wants to bear the sins of the world, and therefore he needs to be baptized. That's why Jesus Christ said, suffer it to be so. Where John was right, you have no sins, you baptize me. Not the reverse. But Jesus Christ, suffer it to be so. Suffer it to be so. Jesus Christ identifying with humankind, with men. He identified himself with man, and the first thing that he wants to associate himself with man is to go and bear the sins of the world. And he carried it for 3.5 years. It was a burden to him until the day he was crucified. And when he was crucified, the last word, he said 7 words on the cross, and the 7th word, the last word, it is finished, which means that redemptive work which he has done, dying for the sins of the world, is complete. So wonderful. So that is the significance of the word now. All right. And then Jesus Christ also said, to fulfill all righteousness, it becometh us. So that's why now he doesn't say he only. He said, John, you do this baptism, and I was baptized by you. We, to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean when he says that both of us will be fulfilling this righteousness? In other words, in fact, it was submitting to the will of God. It was the will of God who loved the world and sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who confesses and repents of his sins and believes in Christ shall be reconciled with God. That was God's will. And what about the fulfillment, the righteousness? And to fulfill all righteousness, it means this. At least there's certain significance, at least 3 significance concerning the righteousness here. The word righteousness denotes righteous relationship. Now, what is it? What relationship here? Now, the significance, number one, is that this act of baptizing Jesus Christ, John's act of baptizing Jesus Christ, means Christ came to claim or to have, or Christ claim, or I claim to have, to be the king of God's kingdom. The rightful king of God's kingdom, Jesus Christ. The baptism here means that he is the rightful king of God's kingdom. So in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the king in God's kingdom. You have the word there, you find that the Lord, the reason why John say, I baptize, when Jesus, he baptized them all, and do it now, you must confess and repent, for the kingdom of God, for heaven is near. It's very near, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is the same. Because the Jewish people in those days, they do not want to use the word God for fear that they mispronounce the word God. And so they use substitute for heaven. And so the kingdom of heaven is near. In fact, the kingdom of God is near. And when John come to be baptized by, when Jesus come to be baptized by John, Jesus is claiming, is presenting himself. He is going to be the king of God's kingdom. Because when Christ comes again, he will be the king of kings. In fact, not only that, when Jesus Christ, when John said the kingdom of heaven is near, is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is not, the Jews will be waiting for the millennium kingdom, messianic kingdom, when we'll set it on earth, a literal kingdom. That will happen during the millennium, when Christ comes back and we have the millennium. But another meaning, which is very important, especially for Gentiles at that time, is the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of God, of heaven, is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. Therefore, it is a spiritual understanding. So when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, all right, and you receive him into your heart, you receive him not only as Savior, but also as Lord, King, in your heart. He reigns in your heart. And that time, Jesus Christ came to John to be baptized. So whatever John has said, the kingdom of heaven is near. And so Jesus Christ said to fulfill all righteousness. So the first one significant point is that Jesus Christ here is presenting himself or claiming himself as the his kingship of that kingdom, of God's kingdom. All right. Significance was the righteousness. What does it mean further? All right. A second meaning would be this. You find that when he was baptized by John, and then the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Well, John could see. At first, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him, John would not be able to see, because the Holy Spirit is a spirit. You can't see the Spirit. But, okay, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and sat on John. And it means that the Holy Spirit here, scriptures explain to us, like a dove, the Holy Spirit descended on the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was attended by the Holy Spirit, and which was an assurance, a confirmation, an authentication that this is the King of the kingdom of God. So in other words, authentic, the kingship of Christ in the kingdom of God. So that's significant number two. And who authenticated that? It was the God, the Holy Spirit, who descended upon him. Jesus came to be baptized, claiming himself for the kingship of the kingdom of God. Then you have the Holy Spirit descending upon him. But John was not able to see, but the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, alighting on Jesus. So the Holy Spirit confirmed, assured, that this is the King. And the significance, the third significance, is that a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son." Who would say this? Who is this voice? The voice says, "This is my beloved Son." Who would say this one? The Holy Spirit? No. When he says, "This is my beloved Son," who is he? His Father. The man who's speaking this is the Father. The Father to say, "This is my Son." So he's God the Father who says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That means in his present action, when he went to be baptized by John, and then he was authenticated or confirmed of the Holy Spirit alighting on him, resting on him. And God the Father confirms everything. "Yes, this is my beloved Son. What he had just done, correct, right. This is my..." And he said, "I am well pleased." In all his action this particular day, "I am well pleased." And God accepted. A proof of it. That is when the Lord Jesus Christ went there to be baptized. How wonderful it is. Now, what can we learn from here? Yeah, we learn one. First thing we learn is that the Lord Jesus Christ went through all the way from heaven's glory, go through so many obstacles, to be born, to become, to be humble as a human being, you know, fully man, and to pass through the natural birth. And at the age of 30, to be baptized, identified with man in order to save us. Who is one who is sinless and yet have to come and to baptize the baptism of what? Of confession of sins and repentance. And all people who see, they saw first of all the Lord Jesus Christ as a human being. Oh, he come here to confess his sin. Only John, by divine revelation, that knew Jesus Christ is deity. He should be baptized by Jesus and not the other way around. And yet he came. The other people all saw differently. They said, well, Jesus like a man like them. Yes, only we learn from scriptures that Jesus Christ is bearing the sins of the world. That's why Jesus Christ said. That's why Jesus Christ suffered it to be so. Let it be so. Permit it to be so. Now. From that time until the time when he said it is finished. So Jesus Christ submitting to the will of God. You know how difficult for Jesus Christ to submit that? Is it difficult? Yes. Right before the eve of his arrest and suffering and crucifixion, what did the Lord Jesus Christ pray to the Father? Oh, Father, may this cup be taken away from me. So it is difficult for Jesus, the one who is sinless, God himself, God the Son. He went through that. It is difficult. He suffered so much. We cannot fully fathom, all of us cannot fully fathom that suffering, that agony in Jesus, because we are all sinners, sinful. But for him who is sinless, not easy. To him who hates sin, and sin is such an awful thing that anyone who commit one sin, as Adam did, and is sentenced to hell, separated from God completely, and if not repented and accept Christ, finished in hell. So how difficult it is for the Lord Jesus Christ to shoulder this. He's suffering inside, his agony. But he went through that. For whom? For both, I believe, for God's sake, for his sake. Because he loved us, he wants us, God himself loved us, and we are separated from him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life and to bear all the sins until he says, it's finished. And then we all can have this peace with God. He went through so difficult, troublous time. Now we are the children of God. Now he has died, it's passed, it is finished, and we accept Christ. When we confess our sin and repent of our sins and accept Christ sincerely into our heart, he washed away all our sins and we have peace with God. Now, when we have peace with God, I think the next thing that we should do is to obey him. When we accept Christ, many of us will think that, very good, I accept Christ into my heart. But I accept him as Lord and Savior, you know. Accept him into my heart. Well, I have eternal life, so wonderful. And we forget everything. We only know one thing, that Jesus Christ had done something wonderful to me, that one day when I die, I go to heaven, finish. But we always forget that when we accept Christ, we accept him as Lord. He's the king in my heart. He controls me.
He's Lord. I acknowledge that he's my master. And he is my Lord, my master. And the first thing I should want to obey him is to be baptized by him. I want to be baptized. Although we know that the mode of baptism itself does not save. But baptism is part of the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God the Father. Didn't he say before he went up to heaven? Teaching them, I mean, making disciples of them, baptizing them in the name. He's telling all of us leaders here to baptize. And he told the 12 disciples, you go around and then you baptize them. And so baptism here is a, you can say it is a mark or a symbol of identification with him. When we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we identify ourselves with him. All of us, many of us have accepted Christ, but we are not baptized. So our salvation, we are Christians only quite secretly. Nobody knows. You'll find when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, everybody, many people were there. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were his enemies, they were there. And John was so fed up with them, and he saw the Pharisees. And so he scolded them, said, oh, you one generation of vipers, you know. Well, you show fruits of repentance. So everybody were there who saw, and they baptized. So baptism here is our identification. If I'm a Christian, I accepted Christ already, and the next moment, as soon as possible, I want to be baptized. I want to be identified. I've already accepted Christ. I want to be identified with Christ. And how you do it? Baptism. To go through the waters of baptism. So when you baptize, you see the whole church is there. You also invite some of your friends to go there. And they all see. You make, you ask your, some of your friends or your loved ones or to be there. And they say, you are baptized. And they know that you are. And so this is one example we know. Now I hope that many of us here, or all of us here, should be baptized. Now if we are Christians, we let us quickly take this step of faith. And that's so when you are baptized, then you can partake of the bread and cup. This is a sacrament. Only two sacraments Jesus Christ gave. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, you don't go and say, take the Lord's Supper and baptism, never mind, Lord's Supper. And then if you take this one, then you are being a bit, sometimes a bit superstitious, you know. Lord's Supper better because there's bread and then there's a drink, or the bread, the body of Christ, but for us, drink, I'm part of him, good. And then baptism, just then water for, or even you want immersion also, whatever it is. No. First thing comes first. Baptize, and then you partake. And when, which church, where the church has you have baptism, and then you can partake of the bread. This is correct. Correct order. Correct way. You have baptism, and then you can, I can, your pastor can marry you, or the ordained minister can marry you. If you were, the ordained minister were not married, a couple, one is baptized and one is not baptized, cannot. Then you go for counseling, ask the couple, are you being baptized? The girl said, yes, I have. And the boy, I have not. Then you better go and get be baptized first. All right, you come down here, check about your salvation and all that. And it's truly that he's saved. Then you be baptized. All right, otherwise, cannot marry. And so you, any young man and young woman here, you are thinking of boyfriend and girlfriend, make sure he or she is saved, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and also baptized. If both of you are thinking of marriage already. That's the way. Because all Christians, all born-again Christians who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ must, ought to be, in fact, must is correct, ought to be baptized, because you identify yourselves with Christ. Okay? And that is one example we follow. The Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father. It is very difficult for him to be baptized that way. To be baptized, shoulder the sins of the world. He told the Father, can there be no other way? Remove this cup from me. You can save all the people by simply by just saying, okay, no need for the death. But immediately Jesus Christ says, not my will, but thine will. And so he submitted to the will. And so all of us should be. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we are humble ourselves, confess our sins, repent of our sins. So we should not be asking more, be afraid to be baptized, identified with Christ. And therefore we should. So is there anyone here who have not been baptized? I think this is a very good reason for us to want to be baptized, to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, that we belong to him. The second thing I can think of in this passage is humility. Humble ourselves. Jesus Christ humbled himself before God the Father. He humbled himself. And then before people, yes, he humbled himself. John says that. And John says, I forbid him to. I don't want to baptize you, Jesus Christ. I cannot baptize you. You should baptize me. And he said that in public. And Jesus Christ says, suffer it to be known, so to be so now. And Jesus Christ let himself, he who has no sin, who has sinless, so he humbled himself. The baptism of John is for the confession of sins and for repentance. Jesus Christ was baptized by John, not for his own sins, but it's for the sins of the world. He submitted to the will of God. And later on in his life, before his death, he asked God to remove this cup from him. Don't, he won't take it. He said, if you can, remove it. Is there no other way? And he quickly ended, not by my will, but thy will be done. So he submitted. So, and that's what the thread, he suffered so much. His passion, he suffered so much. Until the last nail onto his body, his hands and feet, and the spears that broke his side. And when he passed off, it is finished. He humbled himself to that extent. What about us? Oh, don't you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that so, so great, so wonderful? He is, people might say, well, he is God, man. We are not, we are only human beings. You mean he suffered less? He's God, he suffered less? He suffered more than us. Though he hates sin, no. Whether I should use this kind of illustration. What is it that you don't like, you cannot touch? Something that, you see also, they're not see. You don't like to see, not they're not see. You don't like to see. Is there something in us that when you see, you don't like to see at all? You don't like to touch? Human being, sin is like that to Christ. He cannot accept sin. He hates sin. Yet he submitted, he took upon himself. That's why Christ, when sometimes when I read, when Christ prayed that prayer, can I can can you, God, please, God the Father, take away this cup from me? When I read that, but I sometimes marvel at that. Why did Christ pray that prayer? He has gone through already. He was going now. The time has come already. The hour has come for him to bear the cross and to be crucified. And then he said, can you please take away? Why? Because there is a time where the sins of the world will be borne by him. How terrible it is. How uneasy it is. How unclean he is. He felt that way. That's why on the cross, what did he say? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? See? And that was the time when the Lord God Father turned his face away from him. And he felt that way. And that was terrible. And he did that all for you and me. How we love, she should love him. How wonderful. When it is finished, wow, how wonderful. His victory. And then the third day when he rose again from the dead, when he rose again from the dead, that is a confirmation of our resurrection. When Christ comes, we also will be risen from the dead to live forever with him. And so the second lesson, I think, is humbleness. We should be humble. In every kind of thing, let us not be so. We can always tackle many things in many ways, but never be arrogant and proud. But be humble. Be humble. Everything can be tackled in humility. You don't have to be proud, be arrogant. You don't like a person. Only recently I visited some relatives, and just because she is the wife of my nephew, who is a rich man, and he won't cast even his eye on me. He cast an eye on me. Oh, you can see the message in the eye. Look down at me. You don't have to. You still can look at me and smile. If you don't want to talk to me, never mind. You don't want to smile, you look at me. Okay, just for. Or even don't have to look at me. Because when I look at her, the eyes send a message to me without speaking, you know. Wow. Then I can see. She's very proud. So be humble. So what I'm trying to illustrate is that everything in our relationship, we can show our humility. We can always approach the matter with humility, with humbleness. Everything. When you have a choice to show a pride and arrogance, push that away. And you can show with humility. You still can do what you want to do with humility. And the Lord God always wants us to show that. Be humble. Okay, can you? You can? Yeah, you can, good. It's not easy, I said. It's not easy. Because we are human beings. But not easy doesn't mean an excuse for us. And then to show that kind of arrogance and then say, I am a human being, what? I'm not Jesus Christ. Oh, that's worse. Terrible. So don't ever bring Jesus Christ into this picture. He sets an example for us already. When we sin, when we show arrogance, when we show pride, because of us own, put the I away. Be humble. And when you are humble, God is always with you. He will bless you. He will exalt you. So be close to the Lord. Be faithful to him. Ever. For this is our Lord who saved us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, thy only begotten Son, who laid down his life for us. For 3.5 years, Lord, he suffered, bearing our sins, Lord. And ultimately, Lord, he gave his life, laid down his life, and died for our sins, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, for the remission, cleansing all of our sins, Lord. And thou hast approved of it. And on the third day, thou raised him from the dead, confirming our salvation and our own resurrection when he returns to take us to be with him. Lord, we thank thee. We pray for ourselves. It is thy will. Grant us, therefore, the courage to confess our sin, the humility, Lord, to be a good witness of thee unto all the rest, unto all others who are away from thee, and for those also who are thy children. Teach us humility as Christ has humbled himself before thee. And indeed, Lord, we know that thou wilt bless us abundantly for thy glory. And this we pray, thanking thee, in Jesus' name. Amen.